and welcome back to Sailing Beyond Knowledge, episode 55. My name is Carlita, and I have decided to dedicate this episode to Neville Goddard and my friend Beau Atkinson, who has listened to this podcast since it started, who actually sent me a link to Neville Goddard's books on archive.org. They are there for everybody to download. After the last podcast I did, which was about artificial interception of human thought, I had some communications with Beau and about that particular podcast, and we shared our experiences, and he said that Neville's work has really helped him as a way to protect oneself from artificial intervention of the mind. So this is a positive podcast to help people recreate a world of harmony and love and peace via their imaginations, thanks to Neville Goddard and Beau, my dear friend Beau Atkinson. Beau, I would also like to thank for introducing me to Abe Goodall, who is a photographer, a very talented photographer and painter, artist, who has successfully fundraised for his project Going Beyond on Kickstarter. And he is traveling down South America, recording experiences with indigenous people and wild landscapes. And Abe shares the same passions as I do for restoring our connection with indigenous cultures and keeping those cultures preserved, and because we can learn so much from them. Indigenous people are so much more in tune with the earth and the cosmos, and we need to reconnect ourselves with both the earth and the cosmos. We have this time, which is very valuable to do that. And we can also do that with an awakened imagination, thanks to Neville Goddard's work. So Neville Goddard was born in Barbados in 1905 in the West Indies. And he was the fourth son in a family of nine boys and one girl. When he was 17, he went to the United States of America to study drama. And in 1932, he gave up theatre to devote his work to studies in mysticism. He began his lecture career in New York City and travelled throughout the country, eventually establishing his home in LA. In the late 50s, he gave a series of talks on television, and for many years he gave lectures regularly on consciousness and the power of imagination. To a point, he was so popular he was giving capacity audiences at Wiltshire Ebel Theatre in LA. His 10 books, written over a period of some 30 years, deal with creative visualizations and transformation of consciousness. And Neville Goddard passed over in 1972. It was Albert Einstein who said, "Imagination is more important than knowledge." And when you read Neville's books, you'll understand why. I'd like to read the very last paragraph out of Neville's book, Awakened Imagination, on page 94, a chapter entitled The Search. "There is nothing to change but our concept of self. humanity is a single being in spite of its many forms and faces, and there is in it only such seeming separation as we find in our own being when we are dreaming. The pictures and circumstances we see in dreams are creations of our own imagination and have no existence save in ourselves. The same is true of the pictures and circumstances we see in this dream of life. They reveal our concepts of ourselves. As soon as we succeed in transforming self, our world will dissolve and reshape itself in harmony with that which our change affirms. The universe which we study with such care is a dream, and we, the dreamers of the dream, eternal dreamers dreaming non-eternal dreams. One day, like Nebuchadnezzar, we shall awaken from the dream, from the nightmare in which we fought with demons, to find that we really never left our eternal home, that we were never born and we have never died, save in our dream. I shall put a link up to Neville's book, Awakened Imagination, so you can download it and read it. I recommend everybody to read this book. I found throughout many experiences over the last 7-8 years, I had been sure that my thoughts and my dreams and my imaginings or fantasies had manifested into reality somehow. But I never really realized to what extent this could happen, especially with intention behind it. Also, I never realized how powerful every single thought, all the background noise, all the negative mind chatter, all of that, all those fears and insecurities also manifest into our reality if we do not take full responsibility. We can only take full responsibility when we know the power of something, or we know how that something affects everything else. And when every single thought that we think is manifested into our reality, the implications of this are just overwhelming, really. So when you wake up to this and you have concrete proof, you have concrete proof that everything you think and feel is manifested into your reality. You are the creator of your reality. It can just hit you and you feel like you're walking around in some unbelievably surreal dream. And also it can take you to whole new levels of self-empowerment, joy and happiness, because to be able to manifest everything you could imagine to the highest good for all is just such a self-empowering thing. And not in an egoic sense, it's very, very humbling. Because when you really realize the true responsibility of this, it does just truly, deeply humble you. And I think Neville's work is just so precious to all, and he was one of the very first speakers on consciousness in the 40s and 50s, in the 50s mainly. And everyone else after him is just repeating what he has already said. But his work is very succinct, and each of his books is very short, around 60 pages or so, 60 to 80 pages, which is very good because he's able to put it practically and convey some very deep, powerful work in a very simple way for everyone to use and access. If everybody read this book, I feel that we could change the world and into a very harmonious, peaceful, wonderful place, heaven on earth. And this is why I advocate his work as well. It's very tremendous work, very powerful. And I just feel this is a key piece of literature that everyone would benefit from reading for self-awareness and self-development to go to higher levels of consciousness. And to practice it, because it's really a awakened meditation that one does every single moment of the day, every moment. Because to take care and responsibility and use Neville's work is being mindful every moment with one's own thoughts, because you don't want to manifest the negative, the fears, the insecurities into your reality anymore. When you realize how powerful every single thought is and how it comes into play in reality, it's just quite phenomenal. So if you're doing Neville's work and you're imagining something that you would like to happen, and you're really connecting with that through your feeling, realizing it, and you do this every night, and then suddenly something happens to bring about that desire, but it doesn't happen the way you expect it to. It happens in an out of blue, unexpected, very surprising manner, which shows that Neville's work really opens up portals of opportunities in the most unexpected ways. And this is why it's very exciting. And I feel that we can use this work to really transform the earth to be a better place for humanity and override the oligarchic machine that everyone seems to feel overwhelmed by. Because we really, each of us truly have immense power within us to transform our own lives as well as to transform overall reality. The current reality that we're all consenting to, with all its deformations, is really a result of being unawakened to the power of our own imaginations. So I'm going to leave you with a piece I wrote after reading Neville's work and an excerpt from Neville's spoken work, and I will return speaking from the equator in the next podcast, as this one will be the last that I record from my boat, because we've now moved on and things have changed and we're going back home, which is very exciting. So I look forward to seeing you all from Ecuador, or speaking with you all, connecting with you all from there. Just send all my love and blessings for you for the new year, and let's make 2014 a very powerful transformational year for the earth, bringing in lots of love and peace and light and harmony and free energy for all, sustainability for all. Let's clean up the planet and realize that we can make Earth the most beautiful place we could have ever imagined living. We can restore Earth and clean up the pollution and override the oligarchic system as it is by realizing our own true power. Oh, before I forget, I want to thank Fred for making a donation to Sailing Beyond Knowledge to keep the project up for another year, so that people can download the podcast. Thank you, Fred, so much for your generous support, keeping us going when things have been very challenging. So take care and love to you all again. Happy New Year. Bye.
sailingbeyondknowledge.podomatic.com. No www. Straight from the HTTP stuff to sailingbeyondknowledge, all one word, .podomatic.com.
With concrete proof that your imagination and every single thought you have, including the background, deeper negative mind chatter, your fears, your insecurities, that shape and influence your own reality to an extent that goes so far beyond your own programmed concept of your own measure of power, what would you do with that responsibility and with the implications of it? One evening, as I walked along by the waterfront, I looked out at the starry sky, at the reflection of my mind contemplating the universe, and the law of assumption and the power of imagination, from what I had been reading from Neville Goddard's books, had deeply penetrated my being. To an extent, it really woke me up and transformed me. I began to feel distant from my physical body and mind, as if the dream was my waking state and the imagination is where we are truly alive and powerfully connected with infinity. Our souls lay there sleepy, undiscovered, perhaps a little frustrated with us, waiting for us to discover the power of our true nature. Only when we reach the crossing point from the prison of this reality to states that tap into the aliveness of imagination. I, magic nation, I am magic nation. When we learn the immense value and potency of what it means to bring imagination into this reality, it is to realize our dreams here now. To do this, we transcend the falseness of this prison we have made for ourselves through believing collectively that this reality is so real because we think it is the only one that we can rely on for survival. We strongly believe we need money to see our dreams come true, and the only way to obtain it is to work hard to get what we want with sacrifices. Our programming is so strongly ingrained, we collectively have bound ourselves to a deep enslavement to this reality. We believe the game we are playing is more important than discovering our true potential. We have forgotten how simple it is to step into self-empowerment to get what we truly desire, which is always to transcend from one level of consciousness to a higher level. However, one by one, each of us is being called upon to awaken from this waking dream into the inner power of our consciousness, our imaginations. We are each a piece of walking unrealized and magic, with an incredible ability to mold reality, to create a life we have only ever dreamed of. We each of us believe it is unobtainable because we have enslaved ourselves to the material programming that has been fed to us. We have allowed our imaginations to become commandeered by the current oligarchic machine, owned by the programming of this illusionary reality. We allow it to continue by thinking we have to rely on what is dictated and governed over us in order to survive. The truth is far more surreal and yet so simply potent. Once we are able to understand, we are extremely powerful beings, able to manifest all we need via our imaginations, via the law of assumption, the law of realizing we are part of God. We are blessed reflections of God consciousness, blessed to manifest our heart's desire into reality, through the power of our imaginations, as God is love and wants us to have our heart's desire. God consciousness continues to create. Consciousness never stops creating. Creation is infinite and all-powerful, ever-changing. Consciousness creates through us via the power of imagination, which is why any talented artist will say she or he is simply a vessel for creativity itself to work through. It is now crucial timing. Everything is in place for this transformation. For when we each realize this cosmic seed has been laying dormant within each of us, inside of you, this seed is waiting for you to open your eyes to the truth and let the sun shine on the inside to germinate the power of your imagination. This is why we are the answer. We are what we have been waiting for. And the destruction manifesting around us is simply a reflection of the disconnection we feel with the cosmic seed, our imaginations, our oneness. The key to realizing God is within. This is what will transform our current reality. It is an inside job now. Nothing we do externally will prevent our enslavement from this reality other than awakening to self-empowerment and self-sufficiency within each of us. This is the only way our existing enslavement will dissolve into oblivion. A parasitic force cannot have power over us when we realize we are greater than it. The reason it wants to own our imaginations by feeding us media programming it is to keep us from realizing this simple truth. Take a moment to remember a time when you felt deeply relaxed and at peace. Now imagine something you desire deeply. Step into the feeling of it and feel the sensation of it physically manifest in your body. By feeling it, you are assuming it is granted. It is realized. That is all you need to do. This is the law of assumption and the acknowledgement of infinite God consciousness. With this, you are about to unleash the potential of your self-empowerment. Practice this every night before you fall asleep. It is a discipline, as we have abandoned our minds to such an extent to be governed by outside forces. So with practice and connecting to feeling, the intensity of your imagination and feeling dictates the time period at which it becomes realized. Not only does this transform you, it also transforms the world you live in. The more of us that realize this, the more powerful we become. The quicker the outward transformation reflects our inner awakening of the biggest kept secret. We step into the state we were in as children when we use our imagination. This time, the difference is we are reuniting with the cosmic magic of the multiverse, the sacred feminine, the power of creation, realizing how we reflect God through consciousness with our gifts of imagination and the law of assumption to manifest further infinite magical gifts. This is how we begin to understand that we are more powerful than we believe ourselves to be. And once we see the results of this power, when we can see the magic in imagination and in our ability to change our world into what we want it to be rather than believing that we are victims or helpless slaves to a greater malevolent force that has illusionary power over us. Once we transcend this false illusion, we are able to walk the kingdom of heaven on this earth. We will see healing spilling out through to Gaia, and cosmos will reunite with us. Earth knows she is a manifestation of God consciousness already. She simply awaits for us to remember that we are too. Thank you for your attention. With love from me, Carlita.
Carlita, thank you again, and I will talk to you soon. I urge all your listeners to keep tuning in to Sailing Beyond Knowledge Radio.
The purpose of this record is to show you how to use your imagination to achieve your every desire. Most men are totally unaware of the creative power of imagination and invariably bow before the dictates of facts and accept life on the basis of the world without. But when you discover this creative power within yourself, you will boldly assert the supremacy of imagination and put all things in subjection to it. When the man speaks of God in man, he's totally unaware that this power called God in man is man's imagination. This is the creative power in man. There is nothing under heaven that is not plastic as potter's clay to the touch of the shaping spirit of imagination. Once a man said to me, "You know, Neville, I love to listen to you talk about imagination, but as I do so, I invariably touch the chair with my fingers and push my feet into the rug just to keep my sense of the reality and the profundity of things." Well, undoubtedly, he is still touching the chair with his fingers and pushing his feet into the rug. But now let me tell you of another one who didn't touch with her fingers and didn't push that foot of hers onto the board of the streetcar. It's the story of a young girl, just turned 17. It was Christmas Eve, and she is sad of heart. For that year, she had lost her father in an accident, and she's returning home to what seemed to be an empty house. She was untrained to do anything, so got herself a job as a waitress. This night is quite late, Christmas Eve. It's raining. The car is full of laughing boys and girls home for their Christmas vacation. And she couldn't conceal the tears. Luckily for her, as I said, it was raining. So she stuck her face into the heavens to mingle her tears with the rain. And then, holding the rail of the streetcar, this is what she did. She said, "This is not rain, but this is spray from the ocean. And this is not the salt of tears that I taste, but this is the salt of the sea in the wind. And this is not San Diego. This is a ship, and I'm coming into the Bay of Samoa." And there she felt the reality of all that she had imagined. Then came the end of the journey, and all are out. 10 days later, this girl received a letter from a firm in Chicago saying that her aunt, several years before, when she sailed for Europe, deposited with them $3,000. With instructions that if she did not return to America, this money should be paid to her niece. They had just received information of the aunt's death and were now acting upon her instructions. 1 month later, this girl sailed for Samoa. As she came into the bay, it was late that night, and there was salt of the sea in the wind. It wasn't raining, but there was spray in the air. And she actually felt what she felt 1 month before, only this time she had realized her objective. Now, this whole record is technique. I want to show you today how to put your wonderful imagination right into the feeling of your wish fulfilled, and let it remain there and fall asleep in that state. And I promise you, from my own experience, you will realize the state in which you sleep if you could actually feel yourself right into the situation of your fulfilled desire and continue therein until you fall asleep. As you feel yourself right into it, remain in it until you give it all the tones of reality, until you give it all the sensory vividness of reality. As you do it, in that state, quietly fall into sleep. And in a way you will never know, you could never consciously devise the means that will be employed, you will find yourself moving across a series of events leading you towards the objective realization of this state. Now, here is a practical technique. The first thing you do, you must know exactly what you want in this world. When you know exactly what you want, make as lifelike a representation as possible of what you would see and what you would touch and what you would do and physically moving in such a state. For example, suppose I wanted a home, but I had no money, but I still know what I want. I, without taking anything into consideration, I would make as lifelike a representation of the home that I would like, with all the things in it that I would want. And then, this night, as I would go to bed, I would, in a state, a drowsy, sleepy state, the state that borders upon sleep, I would imagine that I am actually in such a house, that were I to step off the bed, I would step upon the floor of that house. Were I to leave this room, I would enter the room that is adjacent to my imagined room in that house. And while I am touching the furniture and feeling it to be solidly real, and while I am moving from one room to the other in my imaginary house, I would go sound asleep in that state. And I know that in a way I could not consciously devise, I would realize my house. I have seen it work time and time again. If I wanted promotion in my business, I would ask myself what additional responsibilities would be mine were I to be given this great promotion. What would I do? What would I say? What would I see? How would I act? And then in my imagination, I would begin to see and touch and do and act as I would outwardly see and touch and act were I in that position. If I now desired the mate of my life, were I now in search of some wonderful girl or some wonderful man, what would I actually find myself doing that would imply that I have found my state? For instance, suppose now I was a lady. One thing I would definitely do, I would wear a wedding ring. I would take my imaginary hands, and I would feel the ring that I would imagine to be there. And I would keep on feeling it and feeling it until it seemed to me to be solidly real. I would give it all the sensory vividness I am capable of giving anything. And while I am feeling my imaginary ring, which implies I am married, I would sleep. This story is told us in the Song of Songs, or the Song of Solomon. It is said, at night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I found him whom my soul loveth. And I would not let him go until I brought him into my mother's house, right into the chamber of her that conceived me. If I would take that beautiful poem and put it into modern English, into practical language, it would be this. While sitting in my chair, I would feel myself right into the situation of my fulfilled desire. And having felt myself into that state, I would not let it go. I would keep that mood alive, and in that mood, I would sleep. That is, taking it right into my mother's chamber, into the chamber of her that conceived me. You know, people are totally unaware of this fantastic power of the imagination. But when man begins to discover this power within him, he never plays the part that he formerly played. He doesn't turn back and become just the reflector of life. From here on in, he is the affector of life. The secret of it is to center your imagination in the feeling of the wish fulfilled and remain therein. For in our capacity to live in the feeling of the wish fulfilled lies our capacity to live the more abundant life. Most of us are afraid to imagine ourselves as important and noble individuals, secure in our contribution to the world, just because at the very moment that we start our assumption, reason and our senses deny the truth of our assumption. We seem to be in the grip of an unconscious urge which makes us cling desperately to the world of familiar things and resist all that threatens to tear us away from our familiar and seemingly safe moorings. But I appeal to you to try it. If you try it, you will discover this great wisdom of the ancients, for they told it to us in their own strange, wonderful, symbolical form. But unfortunately, you and I misinterpreted their stories and took it for history when they intended it as instruction to simply achieve our every objective. You see, imagination puts us inwardly in touch with a world of states. These states are existent, they are present now, but they are mere possibilities while we think of them. But they become overpoweringly real when we think from them and dwell in them. You know, there's a wide difference between thinking of what you want in this world and thinking from what you want. Let me tell you, when I first heard of the strange and wonderful power of the imagination, it was in 1933 in New York City. An old friend of mine taught it to me. He turned to the 14th of John, and this is what he read. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He explained to me that this central character of the Gospels was human imagination. That mansion was not a place in some heavenly house, but simply my desire. If I would make a living representation of the state desired, and then enter that state and abide in that state, I would realize it. At the time, I wanted to make a trip to the island of Barbados in the West Indies, but I had no money. He explained to me that if I would that night, as I slept in New York City, assume that I was sleeping in my earthly father's house in Barbados and go sound to sleep in that state, that I would realize my trip. Well, I took him at his word and tried it. For 1 month, night after night, as I fell asleep, I assumed I was sleeping in my father's home in Barbados. At the end of my month, an invitation from my family came, inviting me to spend the winter in Barbados. I sailed for Barbados the early part of December of that year. From then on, I knew I had found this savior in myself. The old man told me that it would never fail. Even after it happened, I could hardly believe that it would not have happened anyway. That's how strange this whole thing is. On reflection, it happens so naturally. You begin to feel or to tell yourself, well, it would have happened anyway. And you quickly recover from this wonderful experience of yours. It never failed me if I would give the mood, the imagined mood, sensory vividness. I could tell you unnumbered case histories to show you how it works. But in essence, it's simple. You simply know what you want. When you know what you want, you're thinking of it. That is not enough. You must now begin to think from it. Well, how could I think from it? I am sitting here, and I desire to be elsewhere. How could I, while sitting here physically, put myself in imagination at a point in space removed from this room and make that real to me? Quite easily. My imagination puts me in touch inwardly with that state. I imagine that I am actually where I desire to be. Now, can I tell that I am there? There is only one way to prove that I am there. For what a man sees when he describes his world is as he describes it relative to himself. So what the world looks like depends entirely upon where I stand when I make my observation. So if, as I describe my world, it is related to that point in space I imagine that I am occupying, then I must be there. I am not there physically, no, but I am there in my imagination, and my imagination is my real self. And where I go in imagination and make it real, there I shall go in the flesh also. When in that state I fall asleep, it is done. I have never seen it fail. So this is the simple technique on how to use your imagination to realize your every objective. Here is a very healthy and productive exercise for the imagination, something that you should do daily. Daily relive the day as you wish you had lived it, revising the scenes to make them conform to your ideals. For instance, suppose the day's mail brought disappointing news. Revise the letter. Mentally rewrite it and make it conform to the news you wish you had received. Or suppose you didn't get the letter you wish you had received. Write yourself the letter and imagine that you received such a letter. Let me tell you a story that took place in New York not very long ago. In my audience sat this lady who had heard me own numberless times. And I was telling the story of revision. A man not knowing the power of imagination, he goes to sleep at the end of his day, tired and exhausted, accepting as final all the events of the day. And I was trying to show that man should, at that moment, before he sleeps, he should rewrite the entire day and make it conform to the day he wished he had experienced. Here is the way a lady wisely used this law of revision. It appears that 2 years ago, she was ordered out of her daughter-in-law's home. For 2 years, there was no correspondence. She had sent her grandson at least 24 presents in that interval, but not one was ever acknowledged. Having heard the story of revision, this is what she did. As she retired at night, she mentally constructed 2 letters. One she imagined coming from her grandson, and the other from her daughter-in-law. In these letters, they expressed deep affection for and wondered why she had not called to see them. This she did for 7 consecutive nights, holding in her imaginary hand the letter she imagined she had received, and reading these letters over and over until it aroused within her the satisfaction of having heard. Then she slept. On the 8th day, she received a letter from her daughter-in-law. On the inside, there were 2 letters, one from her grandson and one from the daughter-in-law. They practically duplicated the imaginary letters that this grandmother had written to herself 8 days before. This art of revision can be used in any department of your life. Take the matter of health. Suppose you were ill. Bring before your mind's eye the image of a friend. Put upon that face an expression which implies that he or she sees in you that which you want the whole world to see. Just imagine he is saying to you that he has never seen you look better, and you reply, "I have never felt better." Suppose your foot was injured. Then do this. Construct mentally a drama which implies that you are walking, that you're doing all the things that you would do if the foot was normal, and do it over and over and over until it takes on the tones of reality. Whenever you do in your imagination that which you would like to do in the outer world, that you will do in the outer world. The one requisite is to arouse your attention in a way and to such intensity that you become wholly absorbed in the revised action. You will experience an expansion and refinement of the senses by this imaginative exercise, and eventually achieve vision in the inner world. The abundant life promised us is ours to enjoy now, but not until we have the sense of the Creator as our imagination can we experience it. Persistent imagination, centered in the feeling of the wish fulfilled, is the secret of all successful operations. This alone is the means of fulfilling the intention. Every stage of man's progress is made by the conscious, voluntary exercise of the imagination. Then you will understand why all poets have stressed the importance of controlled, vivid imagination. Listen to this one by the great William Blake. In your own bosom you bear your heaven and earth, and all you behold, though it appears without, it is within, in your imagination, of which this world of mortality is but a shadow. Try it, and you too will prove that your imagination is the creator.